Well, I've come up here to tell you about an experience that I've had, and usually it's all stems off something that happens in your life that makes you start thinking about things, so it's always a good one to come from. I slightly, I guess you could say, have road rage. I'm not very fond of the people that drive, 30 and a 40. It really bothers me. Like, if they do 35, I feel like they're in the legal rights. I feel like, you can go 5 under, you can go right at 40, and if you really want to be my best friend, you can do 45. That's where I like to be. If I'm in the fast lane and you're driving slow, I don't want you to be there. You need to be in the slow lane. That's why they made that, okay? So for me, that's just, where I come from. And, I started thinking about the different ways of how life is according to this. I've learned that God is probably trying to teach me patience. He's probably trying to make sure that I still love the fellow person who is driving very, very slow when you're extremely late, even though you would have been on time if they were out of your way, just all kinds of different stuff like that. But as far as looking back, that can be very dangerous in life. You get the rearview mirrors on your vehicle, but if you start looking back, that can be very dangerous. And some of the things, you lose your focus. You don't really keep up with what's going in front of you. If you're always looking back behind, you're eventually going to run into somebody and cause a lot of damage. There's a passage in Luke chapter 9 that, if you want to be starting turning there, we're going to discuss. But in Luke chapter 9, when we get into it, it's going to explain a little bit of where I'm kind of headed towards. It's always interesting to me to see how the Bible pretty much has said everything there is to say. There's nothing new under the sun, and it just continues to impress us. It's Luke chapter 9, actually in verse 61. It's quite a big chapter, all right? And it says, "Yet another said, 'I am following you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' And Jesus said to him, 'Nobody puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Once again, there we see an example of how it can be very dangerous to be looking back behind. It's, sometimes we just need to be focused on what's ahead of us. And as we go and start thinking about what is best for us, Jesus and God, they already know. And they easily tell us here that don't look back. We have a much better, brighter future ahead if we stay focused. And then we all can go back to the idea of when Peter was getting off the boat after Jesus said, "Come on to the waters, come towards me." And he goes, and he has this huge leap of faith. And, he's focused on Jesus. He's seen him the whole time. And then all of a sudden, it says that the waters were raging and they were distracting him. And then all of a sudden, he lost his focus. He got sidetracked. Even the side mirrors sometimes can do that to us. And then, of course, the greatest part for me is that when Jesus said, it's just immediately he grabbed him and took off his hand, And sometimes I really appreciate that. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we're not the driver always. We like to think we're the driver. We think, we're the one that's fully in control of what goes on in our life. But sometimes we realize that really we're more of a co-pilot. We take over when Jesus is like, "Okay, I think you're in safe ground. You can handle this right now." And then you realize really it didn't matter. He's always been the pilot. You're just there to take it when it's easy, and when it comes rough, he can always help you through. He's the one that goes through the storms and flying. I know Chris, he's probably done, where they had the two-seat maybe, where they have basically the steering wheel of the airplane on either side. One is the pilot, one is the co-pilot. Sometimes we got to realize that we are that co-pilot and not the pilot. Also, if we go to Genesis, we can find a few other examples. Genesis, and it's in chapter 19, and it'll be in verse 16. Now, just to set up the story, this is talking about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we we realized what was going on. There was a lot of sinful acts. In fact, two angels had gone in, and the people wanted to have their way with them, and not a very nice way. And Lot was saying, no, take my daughters. You know, don't bother my guests, which was a very honorable thing for him to do as far as how to protect somebody. I mean, guests were very important. You know, it was almost just as important as your family. And that's, you know, very interesting to me because of the way that they used to be like that. Now, if you have a guest, you're like, yeah, take them. They're the first to go, you know. And back then, it was just as important to protect them as your own self and family. But here is when, after the angels were like, okay, we've seen enough. Y'all go ahead and get out. We're about to destroy this place. So it says in verse 19, chapter 19, 16, it says, but he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters and by the hand, and the Lord was merciful to him, and they brought him out and set them outside of the city. And as they brought him out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in this valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And he goes on and says, and Lot said to him, oh no, my lords. He said, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness and saving my life, but I cannot escape to the hills, lest disaster take over me, and I would die. And behold, that the city is near enough to flee to, and that there's these little ones, and let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And to save my life? And he said to them, behold, I grant you this favor also, but I do not overthrow the city of which you have spoken to. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing until you have arrived, and there will be a city that was called Zorah. Well, as we go on, we see that God destroys the city. And then we find out one little bit of information. As you go and read a little farther, we talk about Lot's wife. And the sad thing was, is Lot's wife looked back. And they told him to not look back. He said, just go. And she ended up looking back and turned to a pillar of salt. They were warned about looking back and not to view the destruction on the city. And it was, you know, looking straight back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. There was a picture that I had when I taught last year Bible class, that actually it's a pillar of salt that they found on towards the side, and it looks like an actual figure of a lady to some degree, even though the weather has kind of deteriorated. But it's just odd to have a huge pillar of salt in the middle of this desert where there's no salt anywhere else. And it was really cool to show the picture to everybody, and I wish I would have brought it. But, you know, I'll bring it back next time so y'all can see it. But it was really interesting because you just see this and it makes it come to life for you. You know, you don't really think of a pillar of salt. But, I mean, it's literally as, you know, 5-foot salt rock-like thing that is just perfectly shaped. And you can almost see what she looked like. It was, to me. And it was, you know, even as the one that I have is in black and white, it is so real. It's scary to think about. But that just goes to show us, you know, once again, we need to not look back. All right. Then, if we go to Philippians chapter 3. If I can find it myself, there it is. Chapter 3, verse 13. And 14. It says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards this goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can see that once again that he's trying to show us a forward direction, to continue to look forward. You know, have that mentality that, you know, we need to be focused. We need to be self-driven into the idea that we're doing that. But he says there at the beginning, he says, I do not consider this that I have made it on my own. Once again, realizing that Jesus is there, that he's the one. And I saw a cool little saying once, and it had a little picture behind it, and it showed two sets of footprints on the sand out at some beach. And then all of a sudden, you just see one set of footprints on up ahead. And the saying, I believe, if I can quote it right, says something to the idea that, like, you know, Jesus, where were you? you know, I needed you, and you left me at this time. And I had to struggle through this myself, and you know, you just seem to be coming on during the easy times, you know, when everything's nice and calm, but now you've just left me here, and I see my footprints back here. And then Jesus responds. He says, no, you don't understand. The only footprints you're seeing are mine, because I've carried you through. I've picked you up on my shoulders and carried you through these storms. You didn't do it alone. I was there with you and carried you through. Sometimes we got to realize that life is going to be rough. It's not set in stone. You know, we can have all our ideas of how it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to go, what we want to do and strive in life. But, you know, if you've lived any time on this earth, you realize nothing ever works out like that. God has a different plan. And if you are patient enough and wise enough to wait on Him, then you'll realize the good news is that He will fix it, and it'll be better than what you could ever come up with. Now, I've talked a lot about going, you know, to the forward and front, but just like in driving, obviously you can't always continuously just look forward and hope, you know, to do what you need to do. Sometimes there are rare occasions where looking back is helpful, okay? So even as much as I'd like to look forward, which should be the majority, I would say about 90% of driving is probably looking forward, maybe 10% back or on the sides. But looking back does provide blessings. There are some things that we can look at that actually will help us along the journey. First of all, it gives us thanksgiving. We can see that, you know, we're supposed to be counting our blessings one by one. You know, there's a song that we sing that talks about that. And it's one of those things that, honestly, we need to do more. You know, if you feel like you're having a terrible day, that nothing's going right, stop and think for a minute about really what the blessings are. It really will change your whole mindset, because when you realize, first of all, that you live in America, I know that sometimes that's not looking great right now in some cases, but, you know, with all the different things going on, but we still are blessed far beyond. You know, when you start realizing that our poorest people would be kings and queens, so to say, in other countries because of how blessed they are, it really puts a new perspective on life. But thanksgiving, and there's one that we can look at too, at 1 Corinthians. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 23. It says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you. That is, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And he had given thanks, and he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup, and after the supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And it goes on, but we realize that we have to remember back. We have to look back at what he did for us so we can really bring others aboard. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a car that has about, you know, a couple extra seating. And sometimes you can pick up three of your friends that need to ride sometimes and bring them to church. And, you know, it's good to have that extra space. But, you know, you have to be thankful for what you have, because, you know, God can take it away at any moment. He gives and takes. Job is a huge part of that. We can read into Job and see where he says, you know, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. And it's actually a beautiful poetry in my mind of how he says it. And I know it's not exactly poetry, but to me it's the way he says it. To me, I see it as an envision him talking about, even though that he was blessed so amazingly, he knows that as long as he has God, it doesn't matter what he has, that he still is blessed. So, to me, that's just amazing. But, as we can see, thanksgiving is a huge part of looking back, and that we can be blessed because of that. Also, heritage. Okay? Heritage. That we're not alone. Okay? You know, I've talked about a couple times where Jesus has picked us up, or he's the pilot. But we're not alone. A lot of times, you feel like you're having to do it by yourself, and that, you know, it's all on you, but really, it's not. It's really on him. We give it over to Him. If we can allow those burdens to be shedded off our shoulders and put on to Him, He takes care of that. He's pretty much the trunk, so to say, in some regard, that He carries it all for us. You know, we don't have to worry about that, you know. And we realize what He did for us, you know. We realize that He took all away the worries and any kind of conditions that separated us from God, which was a very, very scary thing. Because when we're separated from God, life is not the same. Okay, life is very, very scary. Because at every moment, you have to realize you're going to mess up. And then, you know, then where are you then? If God is away from you in that regard, then obviously you have no chance of any kind of redemption, any kind of hope. In fact, it would be very scary if you didn't know God and you were on your deathbed. I really don't understand how some people do it. That if you're sick and you have illnesses that are so severe that you could die, how people that don't know Christ have any hope at all. You know, it's more like a lucky charm or something that they're hoping to have, that they just happen to get out of it. For hope, it would be, you know, that I know they're going to get better. It's going to be one way or the other. They're either going to get better because the Lord healed them because He's the great physician, or they're going to get better because they made it to heaven. Either way is a win-win when you're a Christian. And, you know, and some people don't get that. And I don't know how they can make it through hard times without such hope and faith in God. But we can see through all different types of stuff that our heritage is very important. We know where we come from. We know whose we are. And through that, we can have an amazing ability of being blessed. Just like when it was passed down from father to father, these blessings, we've been blessed very, very much so. Also, another thing that we can look at is progress. Okay? To see how far we have come. You know, I drove from my house today to here. And I know it's quite a distance away. But I know that because I know where my house is and I know where this is. And I know that there's a huge distance between the two. I mean, obviously not, you know, as big as going across the world or anything like that. But I can see a distance. You know, there's something we can judge it by. So, progress. How far have we come? You know, some people will say this world is a terrible, terrible place. So, obviously, as Christians, we're not doing our job. I don't know about that. I started thinking about it a couple of days ago. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus said before He left that, you know, if we are doing what we're supposed to as Christians, we're going to be persecuted. Because He said that if the world doesn't persecute you as they did me, then obviously you're not doing something right. Okay? If we're going to be persecuted as He was persecuted, as He said it would happen, I think we're actually a lot closer to how it is. Now, you know, it's hard to judge on what scale, because, you know, you want it to be a Christian place that you can take away all the filth that is on TV, that's in the world, all the dangers and all this different stuff. But at the same time, maybe we are doing our job. Maybe we're being persecuted because, you know, you're hearing about God being taken out of the church. I mean, out of the schools and out of, actually out of the churches too, to some degree. You know, the fact that, you know, homosexuality is being allowed in churches. You know, how can you find God there? You know, it's very confusing to a lot of people. They're like, well, you know, obviously God's okay with it, but yet everywhere we read throughout the Bible pretty much says they're condemned if they don't change their ways. So it's just, you know, where are we? You know, how have we progressed? Have we progressed? You know, it's how we can look back. And then we figure out, all right, well, if where we, wherever we have made it, how do we overcome? How did we overcome this or that? How have we strive to do as good as we have? And then we start thinking about, okay, you know, well, we still struggle because we're not perfect, you know. And when it comes down to it, once again, you know, we think, start focusing on yourself, you get lost. You know, if I keep saying, okay, well, how am I going to get through this? Or you know, what about my struggles? Or how far have I progressed? When really, you got to realize, if you trust in Jesus and you truly have faith in him, it's not you. It's an us. It's a we. It's a group effort, because Jesus is there carrying you pretty much through each and every trial and temptation. And then, you know, we can sometimes see that it's slow, and that's hard, because in all honesty, everything that we have ever built ourselves around is fast. You know, I like those commercials sometimes with the little turtles, the slow skis, I think is what they're called. And, you know, they're always talking about how fast cable is and DSL is so slow and all this different stuff. And to me, you know, recently they've come out with a commercial that I don't think is that good. But before then, all these were awesome, and I really enjoyed them. And they talk about how everything is really, really, really going slow. And honestly, slow is not bad. It's still progressively forward, okay? We sometimes get to realize that slow is not always bad. But when we think about waiting for God, it feels like it's forever. You feel like, okay, God, when are you going to do this? I know you said you'll take care of me. When is it going to happen? You know, and then I started thinking about Patrick, you know, and his family. You know, it's been long, what was it, 4 years or something before y'all actually got back? Yeah, just unbelievable how probably it felt so slow. And now all of a sudden, it's like completely turned around. I bet it feels like time is flying now. You know, and it's such a beautiful feeling. You know, you get this, your family with you. And there's something to be said about that. You know, when we think about heaven, right now, I'm sure all the people that have already gone on are thinking, man, this is really slow. You know, Jesus, when are you going to go pick up everybody and let's start going to heaven and all this, you know? And then what awesome reunion that'll be. But, you know, as far as is being in progress, we're moving. It might be slow. It might seem like, you know, 2,000 years is quite a distance, but I'm sure to him it's just a day, you know? So then that brings me to the next point. After we've gone and looked back just a little bit, we always have to refocus. After you've checked your mirrors to make sure you can either get over if you need to, or, you know, look back to see if anybody's trying to tailgate you, anything like that, you eventually have to refocus. Because, like I said, you're probably more at 90% looking forward than you are more than anything else looking back. So, refocus. How can we refocus? Well, sometimes we have to look back at the promises of God, okay? And we can look that at 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. And it says, "For if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is also nearsighted that he is blind, and having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." We got to realize that our past, yeah, is kind of rough. We're not perfect. We've done many things that obviously would have separated us from God himself if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. So we need to focus on what is the reason why we are able to be with God one day. And that's Christ. Once again, I bring up back a reminding thing that I said earlier is when Peter was getting out of the boat, he was focused on Christ and was able to walk towards him. And once he got distracted, that's when he fell a little bit there. And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But you know what? To me, I'm thinking he's probably got a lot more faith than what I do. I don't even know if I would have got out there on the water. You know, that's if that's little faith, oh boy, you know. So the thing is not to be distracted by the dangers or even the fact that of what you think is impossible. Because it says everything with God is possible. That nothing is impossible with him. And if we realize that and truly take that to heart as if we were walking on water and stay focused on Christ, that's where we need to be. What harm can come to you when Christ has you? You know, that it's just a beautiful feeling. You don't have to worry about stress. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even have to worry. In fact, that's what he tells us around Matthew, around roughly chapter 6. And he says, you know, not to worry, that he feeds the birds of the air and that he clothes the ground. you know, with grass. I mean, he takes care of these, and he says, are we not more important? You know, there was a thing that I went to once, and it's called the Creation Museum. It's a really, really awesome place towards Cincinnati, and it's a lot of just, I think it's like roughly like 90,000 square feet or something of just stuff of proving God's existence and stuff. And there was one that was called the, I believe it's called the Spectrum. And what they do is they start with a human being and they start zooming out. And you see how really small we are. You know, you get to the earth and you're like, wow, you know, you can't even see anybody there. And you go past and you look at all these, you know, past Jupiter and you can't hardly even see the earth anymore. And then you keep zooming out. And the bigger the planets and stars, you realize you can't even see anything. Like, we're so small. It's just unbelievable. And then all of a sudden it changes pace. Then it goes from zooming far out to quickly back to the person and zooming in. And then you realize how big you actually are. And what, you know, everything. In fact, there's a saying that I've heard. Now, I've not Wikipedia'd this to see if it's true or not. But they say that technically, if you were to take out intestines, I know that's kind of weird, but you could actually wrap that around the world. Now, whether or not that's true, I can't verify it, but that's what I've been told. I'm not sure, but the fact of it is regardless of what it is, we are very wonderfully and fearfully made because of our Lord and Jesus Christ that had created us and gave us such breath. You know, we're a lot more able to do a lot more things than what we realize. You know, just like Moses, when he was at the burning bush, he said, you know, I'm not a good speaker. Oh, no, Lord, you need to send somebody else. Oh, I'm not really good at this. You need to, you know, choose someone else. Or you can even look at little David, you know, as he's a little boy, and he's trying to put on all this armor, and he's like, it just, you know, it's not for him. It just doesn't work for him, all this armor. And we can look at all these stories of these underdogs. We can see all these people that God chose that had no chance. And for some reason, they succeeded. For some reason, that they were able to do the impossible. And it realized, when we refocus, it was because of God. So if you feel insignificant, if you feel that you can't do anything, if you are always looking in the past and not being refocused to the future and what we can be as a family of God, then I ask you to come as we stand and sing and realize our focus is on Jesus Christ.